The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Tuesday, November 3rd. Good morning to everybody that is watching us live. For those listening on the audio version, we always appreciate you checking us out there as well. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp, and Stefania Bell all hanging out with you today. It is a significant day in many ways, including, of course, it is our country's election day. For those of you that are 18, make sure that you take advantage of your constitutional right to go out there and vote. We also have the NFL trade deadline, which will be at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We are hopeful that we will have some action, maybe some fantasy relevant action. If you're watching this live and you want to watch more good football content live, 3 p.m. Eastern time, yours truly will be part of the NFL SportsCenter special, getting you to the final hour before the NFL's trade deadline. But we have a lot of news to get to today on this busy Tuesday. We will have some thoughts on Monday Night Football. We will empty the bucket from a couple of Sunday thoughts. And unfortunately, we are doing something very familiar. On Tuesdays, we typically start the show by going to Stefania and asking about the newest 49ers injuries because
yes,
there are many. And Stefania, we begin. And I mean, it's been a dire year in a lot of ways for the 49ers, but it feels like yesterday may have been the most notable day of 49ers injury news since they lost both Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas in the same game to torn ACLs.
That feels like forever ago, Field.
It does.
And now I tweeted or texted someone yesterday that the 49ers were just going to forfeit this season and say they're going to come back next year and reset. Because really now they've lost two other starters for an indeterminate amount of time.
Well,
certainly.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo was barely a starter.
He's a starter.
Well.
And to be fair, we can go down that path later.
Maybe not in fantasy.
Or for almost real football. But it's at least close.
I mean, this is not for this segment, but if you would like to talk about all the things he has.
No, I love Jimmy Garoppolo just as much as you do, Stefania.
No,
I want
you
to
know
that.
But the thing is, he's had everything. He has not really had, to be fair. He got injured in week two. He hasn't been right since. and now the high ankle sprain that he sustained in week two has been aggravated to the point where he could potentially end up requiring surgery. So in all seriousness, the 49ers will have a lot to think about with Jimmy Garoppolo going forward, but we know he's out at least 6 weeks, potentially longer. And then George Kittle has a fracture in his foot. Now, you remember yesterday when we talked about this, we said x-rays originally revealed no fracture. And I said, number one, if you don't have a fracture that's visible, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a serious injury. But the other thing is that sometimes a standard x-ray will not reveal the full extent of the injury. That's why players go for further imaging. You always hear about that. They're getting a CAT scan. Sometimes will show something up. Or an MRI or whatever subsequent testing that they're doing, ultimately a fracture for George Kittle, and he is out 8 weeks, which if you look at when the season ends, pretty much means the rest of the year.
Yeah, and technically, I guess there is a chance he could return a little bit early, Stefania.
Or for the maybe, playoffs?
Technically, but the reason why I ask it or why I bring that up is that many have asked us on ESPN Fantasy whether or not George Kittle would be removed from the can't drop list.
The undroppable list.
The undroppable list. And he will be, if it hasn't happened by the time you're watching this live or listening to it, it will happen soon in time for waivers tonight. Matthew, I think it's pretty straightforward, but presuming you need to make a roster move to either add a new tight end or address another position of depth, probably a safe drop.
Assuming you are in a one-year league, you're not in a keeper league, you're not in a dynasty league, then yes, I would elect to drop George Kittle based on the injury news
there,
that Stefania has released.
Let's talk about the other 49ers who might stand to benefit. It's going to be Nick Mullins, I would think, starting on Thursday night against the Packers.
That's the plan.
Yep, that's the current plan.
And who's, by the way, not a terrible player.
He's not a terrible player. He's 100%. Player. No.
I will say this, and not necessarily somebody you want to pick up, but just if people are wondering, Kyle Shanahan had said that he hoped Jordan Reed would be available by Thursday. Jordan Reed would be coming off injured reserve with a knee injury.
That was exactly where I was going to ask next. So great job by Stefania leading us right to Jordan Reed. And Matthew, are you interested at all? I mean, it's hardly a shoo-in to find a fill-in tight end that you can count on for the rest of the season. But is he at least on the radar?
He's absolutely on the radar. I mean, look, we saw him when he filled in at the beginning of the year. Like, he had some nice success. We've seen him have success in the NFL before. We know that this 49ers offense, you know, does produce productive fantasy tight ends. I mean, even Ross Dwelly, like, caught one pass, but it was for a touchdown last week, filling in for George Kittle. And so, yes, do I, like, am I rushing out? Am I, you know, am I using a number one waiver pick on him? Am I, you know, spending all of my fab money? I am not. But if you're asking me, like, you know, among the tight end two candidates that you would be, that are viable streamers, like, does Jordan Reed get a vote this week? He does. He does get a vote this week. I look, the fact is that, like, the George Kittle averaged over 27 routes a game, right? Not a ton, but, like, it's fine. You know, decent amount. Like, Jordan Reed gets 27 routes in this offense, and probably won't. He'll probably split some with Ross Dwelly. Like, tight end is such a wasteland field. It doesn't take much to be fantasy relevant. And Jordan Reed's question is never talent. It's always health. And so if he's healthy, as Stefania says, he's expected to come off. They also don't have Deebo Samuel. Like, it's little. It's like, it's Kendrick Bourne. It's Brandon Ayuk. I mean, there's not a lot there. And their running backs are all beat up. So just by process of elimination, Jordan Reed will be inside my top 20 when my rankings come out later today. He'll be ranked like 15-ish.
I would agree there, by the way. And confirmed from Keith Lipscomb that George Kittle is now available to drop. Obviously not news that we like to share, but with the 8-week time frame and just 9 weeks remaining in the season, we have added him to the droppable list of players. Time now for Lemons into Lemonade with Chase Edmonds, but that dovetails to news, Stefania, that we got yesterday regarding Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury was talking to reporters and said that Kenyon Drake's ankle ligament injury was not as severe as they initially feared when he was injured in week 7. You recall he was in visible pain. And here's the thing. They had a bye in week 8. He's not expected to play this week. But it is noteworthy that they haven't placed him on injured reserve. So it sounds like they're leaving the door open for him to potentially return sooner rather than later. I still remain a bit skeptical when it comes to foot and ankle injuries. You want to see a guy back in practice and doing things before you're comfortable that he's really that close to returning. We've seen this before. Yeah. Then when they test it, they're not quite as advanced as the coach hopes. But at least for now, it sounds like they're hoping to get him back within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the good news is because they had a bye last week, if they had put him on injured reserve, it would not have counted towards one of the 3 games he would be required to miss if on IR. Maybe if things don't progress to the way they want them to, they could at least consider it later on in the week. But it sounds like for now, the Cardinals are planning on Kenyon Drake being back before week 11. So that is good news for the fantasy rosters. And
Chase Edmonds is a top 10 fantasy play this week.
Okay.
And he's not losing this job.
Interesting.
That if Cliff Kingsbury watches any of the games, Chase Edmonds ain't losing this job.
Interesting.
He is the best running back on the Cardinals right now.
Okay.
That is my belief.
Okay.
That is my belief. That's my hot take.
Okay.
I'm stuffing the ballot box with that one. You understand what I'm saying here, Field Yates?
No, I don't.
Chase Edmonds is the best running back on the Cardinals. I actually don't think it's all that particularly close.
Okay, I disagree.
And I will tell you that I believe that that if Chase Edmonds has success, which I believe he will, in a lead role, like, I think there is a chance that they reverse roles and that Kenyon Drake, when he comes back, does not immediately get his starting job back. Remember, we saw this last year with David Johnson and Kenyon Drake.
Right.
Kenyon Drake started playing well, and Cliff Kingsbury was like, are you my guy? Now, I get it, like, because he inherited David Johnson, and Kenyon Drake was somebody that they traded for midseason, and now they re-signed him to a deal. I get all that. But I'm just telling you, to the eye test, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. The Chase Edmonds numbers are much better than Kenyon Drake. The counting numbers are. You know, in much, much less touches, he's been much more effective than Kenyon Drake. But I'm just telling you, to the eye test, he's the better running back.
Couple things here. I don't believe they're going to commit to a guy who is Chase Edmonds' size full-time. I just don't believe it. He's a very – and he is super talented.
They said that about Kyler Murray, too. Kyler Murray had all sorts of questions about his size.
The Cardinals took him first overall.
I understand. I'm just saying. Like, remember it was like, oh, because he's got a quarter of an inch on his hand, he's okay to be drafted. Like,
right,
stop
okay.
it.
Well, so Chase Edmonds also had a game last year where he went crazy before Kenyon Drake was with him. And then they traded for Kenyon Drake. So I believe the Cardinals view Chase Edmonds as a player that is better suited to handle somewhere between 7 and 12 touches per game as opposed to consistently 20 to 25 touches per game. I just don't believe that Chase Edmonds is taking this job, running away with it, and making it his.
Oh, Kenyon Drake will still, if Kenyon Drake's active, he'll still touch the ball. He'll still get the work. But I'm not saying he goes from 7 to 12 to like 25 touches, but do I think he goes from 7 to 12 to 15 to 18? I do. I think that's enough. I think that's enough to launch him in there. Chase Edmonds over Kenyon Drake.
I'm hanging tight here. I still think Kenyon Drake presents more value rest of the season than Chase Edmonds.
I say on a points per game basis,
okay,
Chase Edmonds outscores Kenyon Drake the rest of the way.
Oh, great deal. I'll take that one. I say on a points per game basis, Kenyon Drake outscores Chase Edmonds the rest of the way.
Put it on the board. Just won that one. Thank
you.
We should get a board dunk.
Somewhere. We should get a board.
We should actually get a board. Studio. We actually have room here and for a board. Oh, you know what we could do? We could just build a physical board and just make Kyle hold it the whole time.
Oh, that'd be great.
That sounds so much really, fun.
Yeah, it'd be good for
like
no.
And what'd be great is like the board. It's like a whole thing, and there's like a little hole for his head.
Yes,
oh, so perfect. He's dressed as a board.
Yes.
Wait,
what's better? Is it better with his little head sticking out, and then there's the bets on the either side of him, or is it like one of those sandwich boards? You know, sometimes you're like walking outside on the street, and there's you know some poor person.
Oh, whoever
you know,
and loses by poor, the bet. I mean,
some you know, it's not a good job. Somebody
the guy dressed as the Statue of Liberty, you know, trying to get you to do your tax return.
Yeah,
right.
Oh my
exactly.
God.
It's like, but he's got the. It's called the sandwich board. You know, he's outside of a shop, yeah, you know, and he's wearing it around, and it's like a whole thing around him.
Sure.
Is that would be better, like with a board bets, and he just walks back and forth the whole show?
My favorite part is Matthew starting this by saying, we should make him this as though he would be a part of making any of the things. Like, there's no way that you would be a part of, like, constructing this board that Kyle would be a part of.
Well, right. But
it's the collective we.
The person he would hire to make this board.
Exactly.
I delegate.
Yes.
I delegate.
Spoiler alert on places where you could find people to hire on making that board a little bit later in the show.
Oh, hey now.
Good.
There you go.
Here, by the way, that's Lemons into Lemonade, which is brought to you by Truly Lemonade. Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade and keep the good times going.
Read that again. Truly, I just
Truly
talked
hard
all over
seltzer.
I feel bad for the people of Truly. I just read all over that. I spoke. I'll read it. Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Lemonade. Truly Lemonade, a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that's perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Keep the good times going with Truly. Truly hard seltzer. Live Truly. I just want to make sure our sponsors get their money's worth because I'm making fun of Kyle.
Most people would rather than continue to talk over top of the person doing the read would just stop talking.
I know,
you doubled down and talked an extra amount.
Well, I know, but I was already talking, so it was already ruined.
Have you met Matthew Berry?
It was already ruined.
Year 7 on the show for us, Daniel.
Right.
The joke is on us at this point. Stefania, I believe that it is very, very rude to bench a quarterback with a mustache.
Listen,
Jaguars apparently have other plans.
I feel like in the world of the podcast, like, I'm definitely not winning the popular vote, but I think I may get the right states.
Okay.
Come on. I'm just saying.
I don't get it. Stefania, let's move forward here with some Gardner Minshew news.
Gardner Minshew is dealing with an injury, so it's hard to know exactly what this is, if it's a benching or really if it's related to the thumb, because obviously they were on the bye last week, and we learned that he had been having pain in his thumb since mid-October, but the team only just learned about it going into last week. Multiple fractures and a ligament injury in his thumb. It's not really clear how they plan to manage it going forward, but they have just said he will not be playing in week 9.
Okay, so we expect it to be Jake Luton takes over for Gardner Minshew. He is a 6th-round pick out of Oregon State, 28-3 touchdown-to-interception ratio last year with the Beavers. Matthew, does this do anything at all to the value of the pass catchers in Jacksonville?
I don't think it does, weirdly. Look, first off, they haven't been great, right? I mean, Keelan Cole got up to the hot start. He's been disappointing.
Top 25 finishes, but still, not great.
Not great. DJ Shark has been a disappointment so far this
Terrible.
Year. And then beyond that, there's no one else. The only offensive player that you're starting out of Jacksonville is James Robinson.
As we all expected.
Right. And so my expectation, obviously, is that James Robinson continues to be a bell cow running back and touches even more of the balls, that Jacksonville is putting into offense. And then the other piece of it here is that, like, this is a fantasy-friendly offense. Like, is Jake Luton – we haven't seen him, right? But, like, they've had 2 weeks to, you know, sort of – coach him up and get him ready for this offense. They're going to be throwing a ton. He's probably not going to be the most efficient guy out there. But, you know, like, if you're in a 2-quarterback league, if you're in a deep super flex league, like, worth a flyer because, again, it's going to be a fantasy-friendly offense. It's going to be one that's going to be throwing quite a bit. And, like, you know, listen, Gardner Minshew has not been a good NFL quarterback this year. He's missed open throws. He's been inaccurate. He's had some bad turnovers. But he's been a good fantasy quarterback this year. He's been a very usable fantasy quarterback, and that's what I would expect with Jake Luton.
Happy birthday, Kenny Golladay. Today is the star wide receiver's birthday, but he is also hurt, Stefania. Hopefully not in too much pain today, at least enough to avoid having to celebrate.
Well, let's hope for his sake that he gets better news about his hip, but we already know that he's going to miss week 9, and that's really the main news here. Obviously, Detroit doesn't share a lot when it comes to injury information, but he is going through further testing, and we hope to learn whether this is going to be a one-week thing or a multi-week injury. But for now, not playing this weekend.
Okay, that's no fun for Kenny Golladay. Really a good player for the Lions. They have an important divisional matchup against the Vikings this weekend. Marvin Jones, how hot is he? A top 20 play here?
Oh, you know what it's time for.
What's it time for?
Undertaker gift.
Wow!
Come on!
I teed you up right there.
Marvin
well
Jones!
Yeah, Undertaker gift. That's
absolutely.
There too.
Thirsty Kyle notes that in his career with the Detroit Lions, when Marvin Jones sees 7 or more targets, he averages over 17 fantasy points per game. Okay? And so you think about this Minnesota defense, right? I mean, you know, Vikings 26th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. Marvin Jones, like, you know, all due respect to Marvin Hall, Secret Squirrel, and the rest of the pass catchers there with Detroit, but you would expect Marvin Jones be the number one target for Matthew Stafford in a game in which they should be throwing quite a bit. So, I mean, you know, Marvin Jones is very viable, and he's out there in about 40% of leagues, I believe, last time I looked, field.
Yep.
So not enough to make your waiver wire column, but in enough leagues that it's worth checking to see if he's out there in your league. We like him for as long as Kenny Golladay is out. Now, I've heard some rumors, Field, and maybe you can help me out on this. I've heard some rumors, and Secret Scroll weigh in here too, because this is your team.
Yep.
That there's obviously there's a legitimate injury with the hip, right? But there's talk that Kenny Golladay wants a new deal, and that maybe in a season that hasn't gone the way Detroit wants to, that maybe Kenny Galladay's not rushing back until that gets taken care of. That's a rumor that's out there.
He's one of the new deals since the moment he was eligible for a new deal this past offseason, as any player would. They were close at one point. I believe if it was a contract thing, it would have been a situation where if he was going to miss time, it would have happened a long time ago. That's my opinion. I believe that Kenny Golladay will eventually be paid by the Lions as well.
I just want to say this
rightfully
really,
so. He should be. He should be paid.
I want to say really quickly, I think TJ Hockenson is potentially even more than, I don't want to say more than Marvin Jones, but like TJ Hockenson, now that George Kittle is no longer a tight end for this year, he's third in points per game on a points per game basis, TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, he's been good.
Continually getting better. And when you see the way that the Lions have to continually throw to stay in games, like I just think TJ Hockenson kind of like falls into this like top five category with like how well he's been playing for me recently.
Sure. All right, let's keep moving to a couple of pieces.
Did you say how well he's been playing for me recently?
Yes.
He's a Lion.
I know, but like
The assistant.
How well
to
he's
the
been playing
coach.
For me. Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Not only do I have TJ Hockenson on a bunch of lineups, but I'm also a Lions fan. And then TJ also gave me a video one time of saying hello. Him and I kind of go a long ways back. No big deal.
Is that not clear enough for you?
No, it's very clear. It's very
let's get
clear.
To some let's positive news along. Here, and we move start along. With the most important player in fantasy football. Stefania, what do you know about Christian McCaffrey?
Well, I know that they sure hope they see him this weekend on the field against the Chiefs. Matt Rhule said he's hoping that he'll be activated to play on Sunday, that he is going to practice this week, just like he did last week, and they are certainly hoping they will have him. He does defer to the medical staff to make the final call, which is appropriate. Obviously, he's missed 6 games. They want him back. Matthew, I know you've talked about Mike Davis maintaining some kind of role because he's too good not to. Matt Rhule also agrees with you, says he's a starter in the NFL and they will continue to use him. But obviously, there's no one like Christian McCaffrey.
Right. It's going to say, Rhule finished that sentence by noting, you know, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best players in the league. So it's not like we're going to play him, you know, for half the snaps or something. Stefania, the Steelers play the Cowboys on Sunday. If it's Ben DiNucci, this game might be 42-12.
Wow.
But is it going to be Ben DiNucci?
I didn't even know you could
Sunday?
Do negative 12 in the NFL.
Yeah. You can and choose to not take the safety and the negative points just go on the other team.
Right. It's weird. Interesting.
So who do you expect to play quarterback for the Cowboys on Sunday?
They're hoping they have Andy Dalton. But can you imagine being Andy Dalton coming back from that vicious hit and a concussion to face the Steelers defense?
Behind that beat-up offensive line?
Yeah, that's the plan for right now. He is progressing through the protocol. He has not cleared it. They're very upfront about that. He has to go through more steps this week, including returning to practice, but they are hopeful based on the progress he's made so far that he will be able to join them on Sunday.
All right. That will be certainly essential for the Cowboys, who, as much as they look terrible, and they do look terrible, are still clinging to hope in that NFC East.
We'll get into this later in the week, but are you starting any non-Ezekiel Elliott Cowboy, even if Andy Dalton's under center, on the road?
Maybe
Amari Cooper.
I think about it.
Yeah. I think Amari Cooper's a maybe.
Yeah, he's a maybe for me.
Right.
We'll see. But he's a maybe. I think a long ways to go this week before we
long
get
ways to go this week. I actually won't be here tomorrow or Thursday well.
Great.
So we'll check in on Friday.
Okay.
So you can ask Mike Clay that. You
that
and Mike can,
awesome.
Can talk about that. So right. Just a couple scheduled days off there.
All right.
All right.
Time for a live read. After a long summer, the wait is officially over.
Okay,
college football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right. We're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for the all-on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. I am just telling you, sometimes there are a few things in life that quench the thirst, quite like the appropriately timed Dr. Pepper.
Oof.
I'm with
you, Field. Did you know that Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and setting your fantasy lineup, you can't catch up with all your favorite podcasts? So come to Shell and get three things done at once, all right? First, fill up with that Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then, save up with the Fuel Rewards program, never pay full price for gas again. And then finally, snack up with all those in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. All right, time to wrap this up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell and engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Let's get to some Monday Night Football recap, and we start with, of course, the Buccaneers, who win this game. Pretty close game, actually. Game came down to a two-point conversion with 28 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. The Bucs grind out an ugly win. Tom Brady, this was a business-like finish for Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
19.1 fantasy points on a night where he was far from at his best. Pretty gritty effort from that Giants defense on the whole. I don't want to belabor this too much. Tom Brady has been fantastic. He has a difficult stretch from weeks 10 to 12. But other than that, Tom Brady setting himself up for just another monster fantasy season.
And for people that are watching at home, just I want to take one moment to notice this, that he is now 11.65 fantasy points away passing Jerry Rice to become the all-time leader in fantasy points. Now, Drew Brees is right there with him.
Yes,
they're sort of going back and forth a little bit here. But By scoring over 19 fantasy points last night, 19.1 in ESPN standard scoring, he's 11.65 away from passing Jerry Rice. So we expect him to do that next week, week 9, against the Saints and Drew Brees.
That's
so
right. Yep.
That'll be fun. We'll look forward to that. Just something to note. But Tom Brady, whatever. So next four, Saints, Panthers, Rams, Chiefs, whatever. Especially, by the way, seeing what we've seen with some of these other quarterbacks that have struggled, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Tom Brady is a no-brainer, not worried about it, start it no matter what every week.
Let's have some fun with these Bucs running backs, which really aren't that much fun right now in fantasy football, as last night Leonard Fournette dominates the snaps after Ronald Jones fumbles fairly early on in the game. And as we often talk about, coaches have zero tolerance for fumbles. Rojo puts it on the ground, and next thing you know, Leonard Fournette outsnaps him 47-17. It was a 46-7 snap edge after that fumble by Ronald Jones. It's clear that this backfield is going to twist in the wind by the week.
100%. By the way, I'm amazed Ronald Jones got seven snaps after that fumble. Because that fumble was deep in Buccaneers territory. Giants scored very easily and put him in a hole. And it's unacceptable. Like, you know, it's unacceptable to Bruce Arians. It's unacceptable to Tom Brady. Some coaches are more like, you know, Pete Carroll, like, attaboy, go get him. Like, I believe in you. And other coaches are like, yeah, you're done. And the Buccaneers are more of a, yeah, you're done. And so my expectation here, like, I'll have Leonard Fournette ranked higher than Ronald Jones going into next week. Now, neither guy was particularly effective running the ball. The Giants did a nice job in terms of run defense. But Fournette is a good pass catcher. I mean, Fournette caught over 70 balls last year for Jacksonville, caught six the week before, had three catches on six targets in this one against the Giants. And so my expectation is that you're right. It is going to be a running back by committee. It's going to be a little bit hard to decipher, but you're certainly, I don't know that you have confidence in either guy going up against the Saints next week, but you prefer, at the moment, you have to prefer Fournette over Ronald Jones.
Gronk is looking like himself of late with three straight games over 14 fantasy points, but the wide receivers are where it gets interesting. And smart trade decisions are informed by IBM Watson, and Mike Evans is the subject of today's trade decision. As you know, everybody probably knows by now, Antonio Brown is eligible to play in Week 9 for the Buccaneers. Chris Godwin maybe not going to play in Week 9, but he's going to eventually be back. And the question becomes this. If you have Mike Evans, and he's played how he has up to this point this season, he had five catches for 55 yards and a touchdown last night. By, you know, certainly a very usable fantasy night, 16.5 fantasy points. But it's been a slog this year for Mike Evans. He has been saved by touchdowns, and he's an excellent touchdown maker, 6 in 8 games. I think the question you have to evaluate is, does the addition of Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin give Mike Evans any chance of becoming a more effective player this year, or does it just rob him of whatever, you know, targets he's kind of already seeing? Antonio Brown is a trusted friend of Tom Brady. It took him 3 practices last year to immediately become Brady's favorite target in the Patriots offense. I have a hard time envisioning that Antonio Brown came to Tampa Bay to be a bit piece in this offense. I think that Mike Evans could wind up being the third most valuable wide receiver in this Bucs offense for the rest of the season. If you're thinking about trading Mike Evans and you can get a weekly starter, I don't think it's a crazy idea based off how things have gone so far this year and just how touchdown dependent he has been for Tampa Bay. Let's get to the Giants. And
hey, Field, before we move off this, though, very quickly, because I think this is important. If we can bring in Stefania here real quick, because there was news, Stefania, about we thought Chris Godwin was going to miss a lot of time, and then that timeline seemed to switch. Like, what do he missed the game last night, but what do we know about Chris Godwin going forward?
Yeah, he could return as soon as next week. He ended up having surgery, and the surgery, basically, when you put hardware in to stabilize a fracture, it allows you to be functional much sooner. And so it went from an original 4 to 6 week timeline, is what Adam Schefter reported, to 1 to 2 weeks. We have seen guys come back from hand and finger fractures within 10 days or so. They really just want the wound to heal, usually the stitches to come out to make sure there's no risk of infection. And then if they can function, and in his case, obviously it means to be able to control the ball. It is his left hand, the index finger, ball security, be able to make the plays they need to play, block appropriately. And if that can all be done, then he could be cleared to play.
Okay. Well, soon enough, it will be a very, very deep and talented Bucs wide receiver. It was probably a nice run for the ancillary pieces like Scotty Miller and Jaden Mickens, who had a big night last night in terms of targets. Hard to envision any of those guys having a steady role going forward, absent injuries to the 3-star players. For the Giants, a bad season for Daniel Jones continues. 16.2 fantasy points. And, you know, I think the reality for Daniel Jones is that the ship sailed a while ago on him being a fantasy piece this year. The bigger question is whether he's got a chance to be a legitimate starter for the Giants going forward. And we actually watched this game together, the three of us, Matthew, yep, Stefania, and I, socially distant last night, of course. But every play, I was preparing myself for the chance of a turnover. It's just how it is right now with Daniel Jones. So I think from a fantasy perspective, even with a good schedule coming up, and it's a very good schedule coming up.
That's what I was going to bring up. So look at this upcoming schedule, right? So at Washington, home to Philadelphia, bye, then at Cincinnati, at Seattle. And Daniel Jones, from a pure NFL standpoint, had a poor game yesterday, had a couple of bad picks, like had guys open deep and just missed them by a lot. But at the end of the day, 16.2 fantasy points against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like, that's not... By the way, more fantasy points than Josh Allen this week.
I'm just asking, four of those fantasy points come on a gift when Ronald Jones fumbles at the 12-yard line.
Right.
You know, so like my feeling is that
he didn't rush as much as you would have hoped. I think he had like 20 yards rushing.
Right.
At the top
so the
of
point
head.
Is just like I don't know that I'm looking at last night and saying like anything about that performance was particularly inspiring. It's just a schedule that's favorable going forward. So. No one, I don't think anybody is consistently starting Daniel Jones. Maybe he'll be a player that fills in on your bye week because he's got Washington, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati, plus Seattle in his next 4 games. Let's get to Wayne Gallman because he stepped up in place of Devontae Freeman, but not entirely. He did have a rushing touchdown for the 2nd straight game. He got 13.2 fantasy points, but not trying to be funny here. Not only did we see Wayne Gallman last night, not only did we see Elijah Penny last night and Deion Lewis. We saw Alfred Morris activated from the practice squad. I mean, of all the players that we could have seen in the game on Monday Night Football, it was great to see Alfred Morris, Matthew.
By the way, Alfred Morris got a point. Woo-hoo! How hard was that, Kyle Shanahan? Alfred Morris, who's been on mothballs for 2.5 years, just comes off the practice squad. And you know what he does? He gets a point. You know, a couple years ago when I did the whole rant, and he was the starting running back of the 49ers, and then out of the blue, it's like, oh, here's Raheem Mostert, and, you know.
Yeah, Kyle, but what a moron Kyle was for playing Raheem Mostert.
What a bad decision that
was. But by the way, then he went away from Raheem Mostert. Like, absolutely not. Kyle Shanahan does not get credit for Raheem Mostert. Absolutely not. Because Raheem Mostert was, it's only because of injuries to Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman and everyone else, he's just like, oh, I guess we got to start this practice squad guy.
Who was by like six other teams.
Come on, give credit where it's due, you naysayer.
Yeah, play,
it took Raheem Mostert 3 years to get into to become the starting running back. Kyle Shanahan absolutely does not get credit for Raheem Mostert.
Well, you and I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Great. Because name another coach that gave Raheem Mostert the chance that.
Ooh, you know what I can do? I won't give you a coach, Danielle, but give you the teams that didn't give him a chance.
No, right. 100%. I get it. I get it. He was, but to be like, he built in, like they had him on the roster for a number of years, and it's only because when he got a chance and then he performed. Like the only reason he got a chance was not because they're like, we see something in practice.
I don't know.
He got a practice because everyone else was hurt.
I've become an award-winning producer.
Special teams players in the NFL is what it was. He was one of the best special teams players in the NFL. But, Matthew.
Agreed.
He started off with the Eagles and the Dolphins and the Ravens and then the Browns and then the Jets and then the Bears and then the 49ers. So don't give me this song and dance about Kyle Shanahan not helping maximize this player. Like, dude, come on.
I mean, two of those teams hired Adam Gase. That you just mentioned. I mean, like
also the Ravens, one of the best front offices in football.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to get onto the field with the Ravens. The Ravens are good.
Wow. You think they could use Raheem Mostert in that backfield right now?
Sure.
2 yards in a cloud of dust with that running game.
Come on. That's only because they won't free J.K. Dobbins.
All right, let's move forward because
I was very bitter.
Yes, it was bitter
and funny to see Alfred Morris out there.
Agreed.
By the way. Alfred Morris actually looked pretty good. I actually thought Alfred Morris had more of a burst than I thought. And it is worth noting.
He was well-rested.
He was definitely well-rested. And by the way, I mean, just remember, there is a history there. Alfred Morris did have some time with the Cowboys under Jason Garrett. So there is a familiarity there. Wouldn't be surprising to see Alfred Morris be in the mix here with the Giants for as long as Freeman is out.
But clearly Wayne Gallman is the guy if we're going to start a Giants running back. I don't think we need to get too far into the weeds on these Giants pass catchers, but Sterling Shepard has 6 or more targets in 19 straight games. It would be 20, actually, if you include, or excuse me, it's 19 straight games out of 20 total played. I'm excluding week 2 of this year because ran just 9 routes before he got hurt.
Right.
Bottom line is that heavily targeted in this offense, as is Darius Slayton. The quarterback's just going to undo them a little bit. Evan Engram has been a frustrating player throughout the year.
But, hang on for a second. Before we move Shepard real quickly, like he's the 14th best wide receiver in fantasy the last 2 weeks. Like he's like, I just don't think people are thinking about him in that like 35 to 40 range of wide receiver. And I think you need to move him up. I think he's a top 25 guy.
Yeah,
this is an offense.
He's 25 and 30.
Yeah. This is a guy that is going to get a ton of targets in an offense that is going to throw a lot because of their defense. Yeah,
he was one of the priority waiver ads last week and continues to cement his status again, based off of what he did last night. Evan Engram had 10 targets last night. That was his third game this season with 9 plus targets. Haven't quite figured out how to maximize the ability, and we see the ability, but he nearly had a touchdown on a play that actually kind of looked like, when you got the pylon cam view of it, he was in. It didn't matter. The Giants scored the following play.
Yeah, they didn't challenge it, but it's a bummer fantasy-wise. Yeah.
It's just a good reminder that Evan Engram is built different than most tight ends.
Question for you, Field Ministry Yates. You'll be on the NFL Live's trade deadline special later
Sports
today.
Sports Center.
Oh, you're hosting it?
Yeah.
Look at you, Field Yates.
They told me you weren't available, so they...
It doesn't matter if I was. There's no way they're letting me on TV. Does Evan Engram get traded today?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah, I doubt it. But it's possible, but I doubt that he gets traded today. He'd be a fun trade target for somebody that could use an explosive tight end because he certainly is fast in the open field.
Do you expect a trade to happen today?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't expect a ton to happen today, but I expect a trade or two to happen today.
Anything exciting? Anything exciting that you would hint at?
Yeah. I mean, Tress Way could be on the block for Washington.
Oh,
No.
He is your best offensive player.
He is our best. I mean, like, you guys think I'm kidding. Like, don't trade Tressway. Yeah. Tressway, the punter for the Washington professional football team. Tressway is terrific.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
I hope
really
they don't
good.
Trade Tressway.
They probably will not trade Tressway. He is a lefty punter, just like Tua is a lefty quarterback. And let's
wow.
just get
I
back to
I can't believe you
Sunday.
Think they're
going
to trade Tua.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly what I'm saying.
Wow.
So Tua.
Wait, send that out. Send that alert out. Field Yates reporting Tua that's on right. the block.
Let's do a couple of takeaways from what we saw on Sunday for Tua. But let me ask you this. Is there a single takeaway fantasy-wise from what we saw on Sunday?
No.
There really isn't.
No, it's such a weird game because of the defense and the special teams. And, like, I don't think you got any sense of what the Dolphins' offense is going to look like under Tua. Like, he threw less than 12 passes.
I have zero takeaways on him from a fantasy perspective, on him from a real-life perspective. Yeah. My takeaways from Sunday are that if you could pick a coach to build a program right now in the NFL, put Brian Flores on the short list. That man knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
very impressive.
The franchise is definitely heading in the right direction. If you're a Dolphins fan, I think you have to be very encouraged by what they've done since Brian Flores has taken over. My only takeaway about that offense is that if you've been riding with Mike Gesicki, you need another tight end.
Yeah,
and I understand
sure
it's a wasteland out there. There's not a lot to choose from, but like you need another tight end.
I think that we'll have a much better conversation, as Daniel, I know you have a question here to ask in one moment. I think we'll have a much healthier conversation once they actually have to throw the football more than whatever it was, 12 times.
That's sort of what I was going to say was I kind of look at the takeaway from this understanding that, like, I think Preston Williams, as somebody that you take a shot on, right, he's been really bad this year, right? Really bad. However, quarterback change, it's going to look different with him under center, with Tua under center. So the idea that Preston Williams, you know, if you have like that one or two roster spots that you just continually churn through, I love the idea of like new quarterback, maybe someone gets more involved and, you know, at this point of the season because they just have new opportunities and someone else to be with. So
I have no evidence to point to.
No, I understand. There is no evidence because we haven't seen it with Tua. All I'm saying is we knew with Fitzpatrick it wasn't a thing. Is there a chance that with Tua, you get a new quarterback come in, you see how some of those offensive positions kind of like, you know, they revitalize themselves a little bit? It's just something I'm thinking about.
Maybe.
Okay.
You guys know?
Maybe. I just have, again.
He's no T.J. Hockenson, I'll tell you that.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying the upside of a guy that obviously has been terrible.
There is a possibility that somebody breaks out, so to speak, in that Dolphins pass.
Someone's going to catch passes.
Not Devontae. Maybe.
Yeah.
They're going to win with defense, and they're going to win with being incredibly well-coached. Special teams, the only kicker in the entire NFL to not miss a kick this season is Jason Sanders, of course, from the Miami Dolphins. So they're going to
win. A lot of Miami Dolphins fans when he misses
a kick.
That's right. So anyways, my point is that like the formula for them this year might not be that somebody emerges as a reliable pass catcher in fantasy. It's time now to get into the waiver wire, and it's week 9 of the NFL season, and so usually as the season further progresses, unless there are major injuries, the waiver wire does have some weeks that kind of strike you as duds. I'm not calling this week a week of duds, but what I am saying is that I think there's a sort of a specific feel to this week's waiver wire column, which is a lot of running backs who you have to trust the role and you have to trust the game script who could be on tap for them. Not a single waiver wire quarterback for me this week because most of them are already rostered in well over 50% of leagues. Plus you factor in buys, plus you factor in changes like Jake Luton and Nick Mullins. Really not a quarterback that I'm focusing in on, but I will begin my waiver wire additions for the week in Baltimore, Matthew, where J.K. Dobbins, still available in 53% of leagues, dropped in a ton of leagues after a slow start to the season. And Gus Edwards, who's available in 96% of leagues. Obviously, Dobbins is a much higher priority, but if you are scraping for some running back depth, Edwards does carry the ball 10 to 15 times a game and has a touchdown. But let me just mention this on J.K. Dobbins. Earlier, you and I had a conversation about Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, and you believe there's a chance at for the rest of the season, Chase Edmonds will have more value than Drake, and I felt the opposite.
Correct.
I think we are in agreement that J.K. Dobbins has more value than Mark Ingram for the rest of the season, and maybe we'll be flat wrong, but to me, it feels like a very solid bet.
It took me 3 years, and I'm still not 100% there, but it took me 3 years to free Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Taken to the streets, right, using the hashtag, the social media, the whole thing. It took me 3 years, right, to free Aaron Jones.
Do you have like Packers season tickets as a result of that? Like, how did Green Bay compensate you for doing that?
They did not. Although I will say they have not as of yet. And Matt LaFleur, in fact, has yet to acknowledge my role in their success. It's very upsetting.
That is weird.
To be perfectly honest.
Right.
These coaches, you know, like whatever, Kyle Shanahan, like, you know, falling into Raheem Mostert.
Right.
Like, Kyle, you know, Matt LaFleur needed to be told, free Aaron Jones, free Aaron Jones. By the way, Mike McCarthy did not free Aaron Jones. What happened? Mike McCarthy was on, was looking for work. Yeah.
Wait, isn't so it, here, this, wasn't it, I don't know if this is hearsay or not.
Sure. Right.
But wasn't, so when we, when ESPN threw your 50th birthday party.
Yes.
Prior to the 2000 NFL draft, didn't right. you put a bug in the Patriots' ears about drafting Tom Brady?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Wow.
Either of those two things.
So
just
we
saying,
Brady,
but I did like his tape out of college.
Raheem Mostert, you did or did not?
I did. I did like.
You never believe in Drew Hansen.
You know, listen, I, you know, like, you know, whatever. I mean, listen, did I text something to Bill? Maybe. I'm not, I don't know.
We'll you faxed it back in the day.
Yeah,
it was
I might have.
Didn't text it. Back then.
I think I might have sent him a letter. Mailed it.
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah, carrier pigeon. Probably telegraph. I actually sent my telegraph. Yeah, exactly. I believe I gave it to a crow. You know, like, yeah, exactly. What is it?
Sir Thomas
an owl.
Brady.
What are they using? Harry Potter, the owl.
Like,
I hang an owl. Yeah. I sent an owl to Belichick. Look, here's the thing. It took me 3 years to free Aaron Jones.
Right.
And I think I'm going to have to start. It's going to take me a while. I don't know if I'll get it there this season, but we're going to have to free J.K. Dobbins.
Okay, let's do it.
Hashtag free J.K. Dobbins. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing, Baltimore? What are we doing? Like, marking, like, to the eye test. Like, they're a better running team without Mark Ingram. Like, I get the guy is very popular in the locker room.
Yeah, but the winds are shifting a little bit. So, for those that missed Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, I want to relay a comment from Diana Rossini, who was covering this game, and something that she said was that in speaking to Ravens coaches, she was talking about how, in some ways, they view it as almost easier to not have had one of the three running backs in the backfield. I don't think this was a Mark Ingram-specific question. I just think that the idea is sometimes when you have three running backs, you're trying to develop a rhythm, a flow.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep them all happy and engaged. But also, you want to win the game. That can be a challenge. Having just two, it seemed like the formula worked. And just candidly, well, I think maybe in terms of overall skill set, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are the two most talented in this backfield. Gus Edwards serves a very specific role for them. And say what you want. Go check where Gus Edwards ranks in terms of yards per carry and percentage of carries that gain yardage. When you want to be a downhill running team, Gus Edwards is a guy to have on your roster. I say all this because maybe that two-man rotation sort of inspires Baltimore going forward to make a change that could result in a bunch more J.K. Dobbins.
And especially for those who play in PPR leagues, which is the default setting on ESPN, J.K. Dobbins is going to be the pass catcher.
He certainly seems
of the two of those guys.
Yep,
yeah.
Agreed there. Oh, let's get to a couple more here. And Jamichael Hasty, perhaps the lone man that you can trust besides Jerick McKinnon, I suppose, in the 49ers backfield.
Right.
But Kyle Shanahan's been very transparent. We want to kind of mitigate the workload for Jerick McKinnon after overworking him a bit by need during those 2 weeks in which he was the starting running back. Jamichael Hasty looked okay this past week, but it's a great matchup on Thursday night. So another thing that I'm realizing with the waiver wire column is that a lot of the ads could be very short-term specific,
sure.
Right? So, like, I think Jamichael Hasty is a top 20-ish play this week, should be added as a result of it. I also think that Damian Harris...
Because we're not expecting Tevin Coleman, right, Stefania? We're not expecting... I don't know if you have an update yet.
No, but he just re-injured his knee. Yeah. Like, it'll be 4 days when that game is played on Thursday.
The game's at home, right, Stefania? It's in San Francisco?
Yes.
It's in San Francisco, but remember, so think about a player who they didn't do anything yesterday. All NFL teams are, all NFL facilities are closed today because it's of election day. Like, you think Tevin Coleman's going to return with, like, basically, like, rehab and walkthroughs only for Thursday? Seems unlikely to me.
No,
it does. And even if somehow we were active, you can't start him.
No, and they brought him back for last week's game because they thought he was good, and he left in the first quarter with the same thing. Like, he's not, they're not rushing anyone. Raheem Mostert eligible to come back week 10. I think he's after the week 11 bye. Like, Jamichael Hasty could be the guy for a while.
Damian Harris could be the guy for at least one more week in New England. The Patriots put the Jets on Monday Night Football on ESPN. Of course, the game is in New York. I'm an accompany man. And Damian Harris, again, we talked about this yesterday. He's a pretty talented guy. Like, clearly a good runner. Has the Patriots run the football effectively. They don't do much effectively on offense, but they do run the football pretty well. They're third in rush percentage and they're second in percentage of yards that come on the ground. So this is a team that you know is going to ground and pound if they can. They should be able to do so against the Jets on Monday night. Damian Harris, another player that cracks my top 20-ish for running back ranks, Matthew. I'm not sure if you finished your ranks yet for week 9, but I'd imagine Damian Harris, if he's not there, he's not that far off.
Yeah, playing the Jets, like he's going to be game flow and game script dependent.
Yeah.
They're going to need to be either very competitive or leading in the game. And in the current state of the Patriots, I don't know how many games there are like that, but this week against the Jets is one of them. There's going to be no passing down usage here for Harris.
If you're going to tell people to add running backs, it might be because you have to drop somebody else. I'm going to give you three names. You tell me whether they are welcome to Dumpsville. Mark Ingram, who we just mentioned.
Yes.
I agree there. Devontae Freeman, who 52% rostered right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think there's a chance that he takes over the starting job again, but it's the Giants starting running back. What's it like, a low end, like a top 30-ish option?
And by the way, here's their next 3 weeks are at Washington, home to Philadelphia, and then a bye. Those are three. Washington and Philadelphia, for all the struggles of those two teams, both have good defensive fronts. Those are not easy teams to run on.
Yeah. And then James White for the Patriots. I think it's a goodbye.
Yeah.
Obviously, very reliable player, and a player who's been through a ton this season on a very personal level, but one game with 10-plus points this year. The Patriots haven't been able to get a whole lot going in the passing game, which is the great strength of James White. More on wide receivers in just a moment, but first, a word from Daniel.
Do you own or rent your home? Matthew, probably rent, I'm assuming.
He might own multiple homes.
I'm a homeowner.
You are a homeowner. Great.
I'm a homeowner.
Sure you do. I'll bet it's real hard work for you out there, huh? You know what's easy, though?
What's hard work for me? Owning the home?
Yes.
It is not hard work.
All the lawn and the pool care that you probably do and the trees and the leaves.
Yeah. All that stuff. Oh, sure.
Guess what, though?
Hey, honestly, it's more hard work for my wife, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
But I watch her.
I bring her
lemonade.
If she...
When she's done mowing the lawn, I come out there, I bring her an ice cold lemonade.
It's the second live read that Matthew has decided to...
You engaged me.
I know, quiet. It's my fault.
This is my fault,
America. I'm sorry. I'm going to start over. Do you rent or own your home? Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be real hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com to get a quote and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know the pressure you feel heading into a fantasy draft. You want to make sure you're picking the right guys to get the job done. Because whatever your strategy is, at the end of the day, it all comes down to who's on your team.
Yep.
What we really need is something like ZipRecruiter for fantasy football. Tragically, they don't make that yet. But ZipRecruiter in the real world makes hiring easier than ever. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, scanning thousands of applicants and actively inviting the most qualified candidates to apply, so you can hire the right people fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. Man, imagine if we had something like ZipRecruiter during fantasy drafts. We'd never lose. Try ZipRecruiter for free today when you post your job at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Moving forward with our waiver wire ads, and Matthew, we saw this one a little bit different yesterday, but I think we kind of met in the middle when we actually put a pin in it. That's Corey Davis for the Titans, who I believe Mike Clay noted this. I think he said he was in the 5 games played this year. Corey Davis is a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah.
So I think the way we framed it was a little bit different. You were saying, like, I'm not buying into the idea that Corey Davis is like an automatic roster lock for you every single week that he plays. I was saying that
he needs to be
like,
rostered in 100% of leagues, though.
He does. He's got a touchdown in 3 of his past 4 games. He's got 10 targets in consecutive games. Ryan Tannehill continues to play at a high level as well.
We talked about this at the beginning of the year after his first breakout game. Like the first game where he was awesome, right? We said, like, so guy that was drafted very high in the NFL draft.
Yep, 5th overall.
And guy that has, you know, tantalized with his talent for years and has had flashes.
Did you say tantalized?
Tantalized.
Tantalized?
Tantalized. No, I did not do that. because that would just be a bad pun.
You can make your dumb Noah Fant joke, but I can't say he Tannehill-ized.
To be clear, he can't.
With his talent?
He just does it anyways.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Daniel. It's incredible.
You can say it, but he's Tannehill. You're just like, stop.
We've lost.
I demand Daniel to stay. Daniel to stay like that the entire day. Oh my God. Anyway, look. The fact I feel. By the way, I would just like to take one moment here to apologize to our video team that has to that has to cut all these videos up, trying to make sense of this nonsense. So just a genuine apology from the 0600 to the ESPN video team.
Apologize from yourself.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Stefania doesn't apologize for it. Stefania doesn't apologize for it. I apologize. I'm thinking of the hardworking men and women of the ESPN digital video team. All right, fine. Look, so here's what I will say about Corey Davis. We talked about this. NFL guy that was drafted high in the NFL draft, tantalizing talent, was somebody that was thought of as a trendy fantasy sleeper for a number of years, disappointed, somewhat due to injury, somewhat due to performance. And then finally, the year that everyone's off of him suddenly breaks out, I was like, is Corey Davis this year's Devontae Parker? Because that's exactly what happened with Devontae Parker last year. And we said, maybe. And it feels like that's where we're at with Corey Davis, who has almost 12 fantasy points in all five games of the season. He scored in three of the past four. And you guys know that I am a true believer in Ryan Tannehill. Daniel Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
He is what is it? Thrilling? What is it? Tantalizing? Tannehilling?
Yeah, Tannehill.
You decide what it is.
I said it's Tannehill, but I'm just trying to give Daniel
Tannehillizing.
So he's got Tannehillizing talent. Okay. I'm a believer that he's a QB1 the rest of the way. Obviously, we've talked about this a number of times on Tannehill.
Let's keep it going with a couple more waiver wire ads at wide receiver. Curtis Samuel is a fun player to have on your roster if he's utilized enough. But the big question is whether he'll be utilized enough week to week with Carolina. And I'm not buying that it's going to happen, Matthew. But I do believe he needs to be on more rosters than just 37.1%.
I guess I'm not there. I mean, like, I know, like, he had two touchdowns on what, like, three touches last week against the Falcons?
I think it might have been a few more touches than that. He's averaging 7 touches per game this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not a lot of work. I mean, like, and it feels like he's had back-to-back rushing touchdowns, but they both felt a little bit fluky. Like, the one against the Falcons, like, Mike Davis had two big long runs, and they pull him out, and then it was, like, from the 12-yard line or something like that Curtis Samuel gets in, and now you've got McCaffrey back, like, who, you know, is going to command a ton of touches.
I get it. I think the question would be whether or not Carolina is, like, talking themselves more and more into Curtis Samuel as we keep moving forward.
If Robbie Anderson hadn't become a thing this year, then I would agree with you. I know they love Robbie Anderson there. You know DJ Moore's not going away. They obviously have McCaffrey. Like, the best case scenario to me, assuming health for all those guys, is that Curtis Samuel is the fourth option on this offense. And how much work is the fourth option of the Carolina Panthers going to get to be a consistent fantasy value? I get the talent. I do. I get the talent, and we like that offense. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I would say just put him on the bench if you do add Curtis Samuel, not someone that I'm starting this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, I mentioned it's slim pickings right now. We are not looking at great offerings on the waiver wire.
But Daniel, by the way, did you notice that when he said slim pickings, he looked right at me?
Directly
at me, bore eyes right into me.
No, if he said there was a large amount of things out there on the waiver wire.
Wow.
If there was a robust amount of players on the waiver wire, you know what I'm saying? If the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man was somehow on the waiver wire, then I would understand why he would look at you.
Wow.
So one more.
So I was trying to be self-deprecating, and you're like, no, you're not being self-deprecating enough. Let me also take a shot at your weight.
Just a little bit farther down
let me
that
take
road.
A shot at your weight.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh,
we're all there.
For the Patriots right now, we know it is. I mean, it's slim pickings on the waiver wire.
I'm a dad. I'm allowed to have a dad bod. It is what it is.
So not
and
just
the rules.
It's slim pickings for the Patriots at wide receiver
well,
with Julian Edelman out on IR. Mm. N'Keal Harry has not yet practiced and suffering a concussion, not this past week, but the week prior to that. And Jacoby Myers, who last year entered the league as an undrafted free agent, impressed enough to stick around on the active roster, finished with 6 catches for 58 yards in bad circumstances this past Sunday with nasty weather up there in Buffalo and 10 targets. Maybe enough of a thing that, again, in a great matchup on Monday night against the Jets, that if you're looking for a fill-in this week and with enough teams on a bye and enough injuries and enough roster shuffling, Jacoby Myers could be a deep league consideration. He'll probably wind up somewhere in my top 35 or so for wide receivers for week 9. Again, if you're going to add a wide receiver, it may be because you're going to have to dump somebody else. And three more names at wide receiver, Matthew. Dumpsville, yay or nay. Julian Edelman.
Sadly, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, unless you already have, unless you've added a bunch of IR slots, which of course right. you can do, then you can keep him stashed there. But I'm with you there. T.Y. Hilton, Stefania's banged up. Do we know what the deal is with him?
Well, he had a groin injury, but he wasn't doing anything for you anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
I was gonna say.
And he couldn't come back into the game, so I've sort of put him off to the side.
Factor in the injury with the lack of production. Welcome to Dumpsville, T.Y. Hilton. And then A.J. Green, who's still rostered in 82% of leagues. He goes back-to-back solid games, Matthew, and then has 2.9 fantasy points in week 8. Dumpsville for A.J. Green, or are you just sort of hanging tight because those two games might be more indicative of what he's going to eventually become?
So I'm not saying definitely drop him. I mean, right, he had the two games, which we saw, like, tough game last week as well. Be interesting to see, like, is there a chance he gets traded this week today? Do you think there's a chance that Auden Tate or John Ross gets traded?
John Ross, I think there's a chance. No chance on A.J. Green. Who's paying $9 million for A.J. Green?
The Jets could. Listen, they paid a lot of money to Le'Veon Bell. Like, whatever. They're eating money for Le'Veon Bell to play for the Chiefs. Look, no, all jokes aside, like, I wouldn't, if you dropped A.J. Green, I'm not looking at you weird, but I do think there was enough there the last two games, and that offense is so pass heavy enough that, I might hold on to him a little bit there. So he's not definitely Dumpsville for me the way that Julian Edelman or T.Y. Hilton is, but I also don't think he's a must hold.
There were that were optimistic about Dallas. You have something, Daniel?
Yeah, I just kind of want to throw in from the idea of A.J. Green, right, talking about him. Would you drop A.J. Green for Corey Davis this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Straight up. Would you drop A.J. Green for J.K. Dobbins, who we talked about a little bit
yes.
earlier?
Yes, 100%.
Is there anybody on this list? So, like, Curtis Samuel, would you drop A.J. Green for
I'd keep
Curtis
A.J.
Samuel?
Green over Curtis Samuel.
I think yes, I would agree too. With that, too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to, like, set the baseline
weight.
For where
he's
we're
not
at.
Dead weight. We have talked, T.Y. Hilton is dead weight.
T.Y. Hilton can be dropped for any
on any roster
yes.
right now. A.J. Green is not dead weight. He's expendable, though, yes. if the right circumstances dictated that you could find someone who would be a better upgrade either at wide receiver or somewhere else. Tight ends, as always, not a lot of options there, but Dallas Goedert, a name to at least monitor. He's available in about 60% of leagues, and he had just one catch this past week. They're on a bye now, so you may not have the ability to stash him, but this is sort of a talent hedge, right? This is a guy that people believe big things are eventually heading his way in Philadelphia, so if you have the ability to roster a second tight end for one more week, Dallas Goedert, someone to keep on the radar.
1,000% there. Go ahead.
This feels like the rich getting richer here, because if you're adding him, knowing that he's going on a bye, it's because you're like, 5-2 or 6-1 or whatever, whatever your record is.
I mean, or again, with benches being so deep this year in some leagues, you might just have the flexibility there.
Assuming, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you, okay. I was going to ask you real quickly, did Jordan Wilkins make your list?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
Talked about him a lot yesterday, too. So.
We did. Yeah, I think there's interesting, I don't know if you saw this, I tweeted this out on social media as well, but I tweeted out a clip from CBS of Philip Rivers' post-game interview where he just says very quickly something like, JT, meaning, Jonathan, he's talking about Jonathan Taylor, he's saying JT was nicked up. So just like some sort of very vague reference to right. Taylor being not 100% healthy.
Gotcha.
If Taylor were to miss some time, Wilkins would move up the list for me, certainly.
I would think he would be the number one waiver ad of the week, other than J.K. Dobbins, especially at running back. So he has a chance to be a top 25-ish play if Jonathan Taylor, actually better than that, top 20 play if Jonathan Taylor's out this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll monitor that more on Wednesday, probably Thursday,
just
to be
something
honest.
Something to keep in mind, just as you're doing your waiver claims, there's some upside. There's potential some upside, at least in the short term, for Jordan Wilkins.
All right. So on Wednesday, it'll be myself and Mike Clay hanging out with you. We'll do some rankings conversations, probably some news updates in case there are any, and maybe some reactions to some fantasy football relevant trades. If you could just think off the top of your head in the last minute or so that we have here, is there a certain trade that you've at least seen some level of buzz about that you're like, that would be awesome for fantasy football?
Will Fuller to, Will Fuller somewhere.
Will Fuller is the right. movable chess piece in this whole fantasy trade deadline conversation.
How?
Yeah. Right?
How?
How?
How are they going to move Will Fuller? Who are they going to give the football to? They just gave away DeAndre Hopkins. If they get rid of Will Fuller,
here's the reason why. It's not about what they could do for the rest of this season. It's about the idea that they are going nowhere at 1-6, and they have no first-round pick. They have no second-round pick. Will Fuller is going to be a free agent. If they don't believe, and they've had 4.5 years now to figure out if they get a long-term deal done with Will Fuller, well, 1.5 years since he's been extension eligible, they haven't gotten something done yet. Is that a sign they're not going to meet his demands, or he's not going to come down to their price, or maybe they haven't had any conversations about an extension? But my thought is that it's short-term pain for longer-term gain.
Yeah. I would agree
interesting.
With that.
Well, let's keep an eye on Will Fuller and so much more. Again, 3 p.m. Yeah. If you're watching us live or listening to the podcast early, 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
If you haven't voted yet and you are eligible to vote, please vote today. Please exercise your right.
We will talk to you tomorrow. Field of Mike hanging out with you then. In the meantime, for Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Peace out.